A question of Fed independence after President Trump speaks out today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump today said if China's President Xi does not show up personally at a Group of 20 summit in Japan at the end of the month, new U.S. tariffs will trigger immediately. No response yet from Beijing. Trump was speaking via telephone on CNBC, the business channel. The president used the forum to resume his attack on the U.S. central bank, the Federal Reserve. The president said the Fed had been raising interest rates during the trade war as China lowered its cost of borrowing.
Don't forget, the head of the Fed in China is President Xi. He's the president of China. He also is the head of the Fed. He can do whatever he wants.
By way of comparison, Trump asserted that there are members of the U.S. Federal Reserve Board, some of whom, quote, are not my people. Trump has appointed the chairman, both vice chairman, and one other Fed governor, four of the current five Fed governors. On Mondays, we consult economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so the president is, quote, not even a little bit happy with Fed Chairman Powell, thinks the U.S. Central Bank puts the U.S. at a disadvantage in this U.S.-China trade dispute. What do you make of this?
The Fed is never going to be a winner in this administration. It is going to be the fall guy for everything that goes wrong. So there's nothing that the Fed can do to please the president. I would just say that the dollar is the reserve currency of the world, in part because we have such a strong institutional backdrop. I personally would take issue with this idea that the president should be the head of the central bank.
He didn't quite say that. He said, don't forget the head of the Fed in China is President Xi, President Trump said, and he can do whatever he wants. I just looked it up. The head of the Chinese Central Bank is Mr. Yi Gang. But, you know, maybe he's speaking loosely. The head of China's Central Bank presumably has to listen to his boss.
He is always looking admiringly at leaders that have greater control over their institutions. So on the other hand, again, this independent Federal Reserve has served us very, very well in terms of establishing a thriving capital market and a reserve currency. So these are long-term values of having an independent Fed.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We're following the story about Walmart's new system to use smart locks on your house to let in delivery people who will drop groceries off inside your fridge. As Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports, Walmart is not the first company betting that people will trade privacy for convenience.
The first big online retailer to offer deliveries inside the house was Amazon in 2017. Denise Dalhoff is with the Conference Board.
My guess is that the response wasn't so great because actually this year they started offering a new service, delivery to your garage.
I actually signed up here in Los Angeles. Amazon's delivery drivers now use an app to open the door, drop my package, and then close up again. Starting this fall, select Walmart customers will be able to watch the feed from a body cam as their groceries are taken right into their kitchens. An ad shows the process from the fridge's point of view.
They can see how completely easy this is and that I'm completely taken care of.
Dalhoff says the sharing economy is making the idea more palatable.
We have Uber, we have Airbnb, where people host strangers at their homes. So that has gotten consumers to trust much more.
Walmart hasn't said how much the delivery service will cost. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
You know Marketplace is a source you trust for information about the economy and how it affects our lives. We're also a nonprofit news organization, and we're counting on listeners like you to support this kind of journalism. Any donation helps, but if you give $30 right now, it'll be matched dollar for dollar by another one of our generous supporters, the Candida Fund. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org, and thank you. What's a good way for teachers to learn from each other? That's something a group of educators in Nashville is exploring. It's a kind of professional development that's evolved almost organically. The teachers rotate monthly meetings in classrooms, hold week-long summer workshops, and are intentionally cutting across the private-public school divide. From Nashville's WPLN, Natasha Semyonovich reports.
After leaving a public school for a private one, sixth grade English teacher Greg O'Loughlin was surprised at how few educators from the two sectors knew each other, though he says in retrospect it made sense.
So there's not like a teacher hangout.
So in 2016, he created one. The Educators Cooperative in Nashville now has more than 100 members from all types of schools. O'Loughlin says that's because the work they do daily and the help students need
looks very similar classroom to classroom to classroom.
Co-op members say they're simply sharing their knowledge to provide that help on their own terms. Monthly meetings are built around discussion groups on pressing topics chosen that day, which could be tips for boosting math skills or how to help restless kids concentrate. By seating them on a one-legged stool, that intrigued public special ed teacher Jennifer Ferguson.
Yeah, they do look adjustable, and it has like a rubber foot stop.
Mike Mitchell, an art teacher at a Catholic high school, saw an opportunity.
I wonder if my kids could build them for your kids.
I mean, you could give me one.
Let's do a prototype. That'd be so fun.
Mitchell's students have now made stools for several co-op teachers. There are also discussions on racial inequity in education. Hearing colleagues speak openly about that without fear of judgment is monumental, says Mark Anthony Peak, an African-American charter school teacher.
Nowhere else am I having these conversations with educators.
It's an innovative model, says Marcy Singer Gabella. She's the chief of staff of Nashville's public school system and a former education professor at Vanderbilt University. She supports the effort and says it's vital that administrators stay out of it.
Unless teachers lead that work, it's not the same, right? You can't force a group of people to trust one another.
The state of Tennessee now gives professional development credits to co-op members. A summer workshop is almost 5 years worth of credits. Founder O'Loughlin says he's happy when members tell him,
I no longer feel like I'm a teacher in this classroom or a teacher in this school. I feel like I'm a teacher in Nashville.
With the co-op continuing to attract more members and grants, O'Loughlin has switched to teaching part-time to build on that growth. And he hopes to spread the model nationwide. In Nashville, I'm Natasha Sinjanovic for Marketplace.
We're also covering the big merger. United Technologies stock is down 0.5% now after its merger announcement with fellow defense contractor Raytheon. Now Raytheon stock is up 0.6%. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.